The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is on this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've seen people do this, right? Testing, testing. Can anyone hear me? Is this thing on? Exactly. I can imagine Jesus, if he'd used one of these devices, saying that to some of the people he encountered all the time. Are you listening to me? Can you even hear me? Why do I have to repeat myself over and over again to you? You are such hard-headed people. Can you imagine him saying that? How over and over he tells them things and they don't seem to get it. And I wonder if these people who are around him physically, they see him, they're face to face with him, they see his miracles, they're there at his feeding, they watch him heal individuals, and they ask over and over again, "By whose authority do you do this?" It's like, can you hear me, people? Last night, I decided to reread Matthew's Gospel, the whole thing, from beginning to last. I recommend that you try that sometime. Just read through Matthew's Gospel. That's a Gospel that we're in this year. Just read through it and get a picture of the entire story. And when I did that, I noticed, of course, that there are several things that show up over and over again. The question of authority is one of them. Jesus is repeatedly asked, "By whose authority are you doing this?" But the thing that I wanted to focus on today is the number of times that Jesus is tested or tempted in Matthew's Gospel. And by whom? So chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, it's Satan testing him out in the wilderness. You remember that story, don't you? How he's asked to turn stones into bread, how he's asked to throw himself off the highest point of the temple, things like that. For he's tempted by power. And he tells Satan, "No. Why are you testing the Lord your God?" Then we jump to chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. This time it's the Pharisees asking whether it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, it's the Pharisees joined by the Sadducees demanding a sign, and Jesus refuses to perform for them. In chapter 19, verses 1 through 13, it's the Pharisees asking questions about divorce. Our reading for today, it's the Pharisees and the Herodians, groups that don't get along, joining together against a common foe, asking about Caesar's tax. Chapter 22, verses 23 through 33, it's the Sadducees asking about marriage and the resurrection. Chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, it's the Pharisees again asking about the greatest commandment. Chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane three times asking whether he needs to do what he knows he needs to do. He's wrestling with himself there. Chapter 26, verses 57 through 68, it's Caiaphas the high priest, the chief priest in the Sanhedrin, after Jesus' arrest, trying to get him to say something that will show his guilt. And he doesn't do it. This is an iffy one, chapter 27, verses 11 through 14, Jesus before Pilate. Again, where Pilate is trying to elicit information from him. And finally, chapter 27, verses 32 through 54, the crucifixion, where the crowds call upon him to save himself, where the thieves hanging beside him mock and jeer him, saying, "You saved others, why don't you save yourself?" So over and over and over again, Jesus is tested, Jesus is tempted, and every time he passes the test. So today, our lesson is that failed attempt by the Pharisees and the Herodians to trap Jesus on what appears to be a political issue, whether it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. Now, the Pharisees oppose the Roman occupation, so they bring along the Herodians, people obligated to Rome to keep Herod in power as a puppet ruler. So it looks like no matter what Jesus says, he's going to be wrong. So they begin with false flattery. "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth." But their own insincerity is obvious as they set the trap. "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Now, Jesus sees through their flattery to the malice behind it, and he brands them hypocrites. He asks them to show them the coin used to pay the tax. Now, apparently, he carries no coins. The last time I remember in Scripture Jesus needing money, he sent Peter out fishing and told him that he would find the coins in the fish's mouth that would pay the tax. So Jesus doesn't seem to carry money with him. So he's asking someone else, "Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And the coin shown to him is a Roman coin, a denarius, a day's wages for the common worker. It bears the blasphemous image of Tiberius Caesar and the inscription that proclaims Caesar as divine. So there in the temple, which is where this story is occurring, someone possesses this idolatrous image. Now, as I said, the Pharisees are thinking ahead. Now, if Jesus says it's lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, he's going to alienate the people who hate the Roman occupation. If he says it's unlawful to pay those taxes, then the people will be pleased, but then Jesus is liable to arrest by the Romans for sedition. So here they are with this coin, this denarius, asking that question, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And Jesus asks, whose image is on the coin? When they respond that the image is that of Caesar, he tells them to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. But here's the question. What belongs to God? To whom do we belong? Now, sometimes it feels as though we belong to Caesar. So many things of this world call for our attention. We endure taxation. We have legal restrictions on our activities. Sometimes our jobs, our occupations seem to possess us. Sometimes we seem to belong to our material possessions rather than the other way around. To whom do we really belong? Whose inscription is upon us? Whose image do we bear? We are told in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, that we are made in the image and likeness of God. If this is true, and we believe it is, then everything we are and everything we have belongs to God. And what does that mean? If we belong to God, what does that mean? We say that God claimed us in the waters of baptism. What that means is that God will never abandon or forsake us. We are God's forever, indelibly stamped with God's image. It also means that we belong to each other, to the body of Christ. We were baptized into a fellowship of believers. And it means that we give to God what is God's, meaning that we give ourselves. We give ourselves to God, we give ourselves to the world. We don't live for ourselves, but we live for God and for neighbor. But how often are we tested and tempted? How often does the world tell us that we are not valued? How often does the world seek to entrap us? When it does, we can proudly proclaim that the world is wrong, that we are valued and loved beyond our imagining, because we carry the image of God. We belong to God, and nothing will take us away from the love of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, We Give Thee But Thine Own, number 686.